The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy? What's happening today?
I could not possibly be better.
Oh, beautiful outside, isn't it, huh?
1 week till it's even nicer.
Oh, because you're going on vacation.
Yeah, baby. Skiing and baseball.
Let me tell you what I was doing about noon today. I'm jogging, wearing my dolphin shorts, no shirt out.
Absolutely none of that is true. No. You were definitely not jogging, and you definitely
you don't even
shirtless.
Know what you don't even know. You see, but he didn't say anything about the dolphin shorts. He has no idea what that is.
There's a possibility you were in shorts.
Do you know
doing
what dolphin
something.
Shorts are? You think they're Miami Dolphin shorts, don't you?
They're probably like booty shorts.
Do you remember
or something.
What dolphin shorts
no,
are?
No.
Yes, they used
gross.
To have back in like the '90s. They'd have stripes, and it was a little bigger on the where the legs are. Dolphin shorts. Don't you remember dolphin
no,
shorts?
No.
No.
No. Apparently, I wasn't in the fashion.
I think mostly
trend,
girls
like
wore
like I am now.
I think mostly girls wore it though. Well, I saw guys wear it, too.
Neither one of you were into fashion, because yesterday you didn't know what Vera Bradley was.
No, I thought that was an actress.
I thought he was a point guard for the Knicks or something.
Where you're going to Phoenix for vacation.
Well, for half of it, yeah. The other half is skiing with my daughter in Tahoe.
I keep trying to, you know, have you spread your horizons and go somewhere else like Alaska. Or
I've been there.
You've been to
I'm
Alaska.
I'm wearing my Alaska Marathon shirt.
Wow, you know, because they had that they, in the summertime. They have the 24-hour daylight, and they have the baseball there.
Yeah.
You would love that.
That's awesome.
The shirt I'm wearing was Alaska Mayor's Midnight Sun Marathon. We were there, and the sun never went down. Oh. I mean, it went down, but it never got dark.
Brady,
weird.
I teed off at midnight to play golf.
Yeah, they play baseball out there.
Oh, yeah.
You midnight actually, baseball league.
Can you actually play golf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like dusk.
It's
not,
dusk.
It's not, yeah, it's like
no,
dusk.
I know you can physically play golf. I'm saying, can Arnie actually
well,
play
no,
golf?
No, I'm horrible. Yeah, no, I'm horrible at it. But I just wanted to play at midnight. You know, I just wanted to have a little fun. And they have all the baseball, and it's crazy out there.
Yeah, the marathon sucks, but Anchorage was a happening town.
So you've been there. But you keep going back to Arizona every year, though.
Spring training, baby.
No.
Come on, 3 days of skiing with a daughter and followed by 3 days of
well,
sunshine
you
and
go
beer
see your
and
daughter but then you don't have to go down to Arizona, maybe go to Alabama. What are you laughing at Alabama for?
Shows and listen to the Arnie Spanier
if this
show.
Was my national show, people would be ripping you right now over laughing over Alabama,
because I was just thinking, what do I want to do more than anything else on a vacation?
Go to Alabama.
Is listen to Arnie.
Yes, go down to Alabama. You can go down there. They got beaches down there.
Will you download
have a good time?
Will you download the you better already have it. Will you be listening to the Huddle on the 101.3 ESPN app?
This is called a vacation.
You know what's funny, speaking of that, I haven't let this one slip, but do you remember when I went to Cleveland with my dad, went to the Browns game?
Yeah.
And I left you knuckleheads in charge of the show?
Yeah.
So I was listening right after, like, the first day. Within 2 minutes, Rich goes, you know Brady's listening right now.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
The last thing on earth I would do on a vacation is listen to 1 second of you guys.
Oh, stop.
I love you dearly. Come here. Give me a hug. But, yeah, but I just want to get away from that. The idea of a vacation is to
go to California,
is to enter into a different situation for a few days.
Go to Southern California. Go to Los Angeles.
I am. I'm flying into San Fran.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. The difference between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
I know.
There's a difference from right here to Maryland.
It's like Alabama and Vietnam.
Yeah,
I mean, come
I
on now.
The only way I can see my daughter in Tahoe is to fly into San Fran.
I know, but don't say that's Los Angeles. It's not. Don't insult me. Don't insult me. Come on now. That's
so
a thing you're insulting me.
3 days in the snow and 3 days in the desert. Now that's a vacation.
Yeah. I could do without the desert. I could do without the, well, now it's perfect. It's like 75, 80 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's heaven.
Go in the summertime when it's 118.
Yeah,
and guess what?
Great.
The golf courses are like, come play for free. No, I'm not kidding around.
Who plays golf in Arizona in July?
I played.
How do you do that?
I played in 116. I think it was 116, and they said, you're going to have to get off the course.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah. They said, you'll have to get off the course if it goes to 118, then it becomes dangerous. I go, for 2 degrees, I'm getting off the course now. I don't need to chance it. I go, it's so beautiful at 116. 118, just a little too hot for me.
No, that's why I will never live there.
Gosh.
I just like to visit.
Unbelievable. No, you know what? 116, 117, I'm getting off now.
Yeah.
You know what? People are wearing towels that are soaking wet around their neck. you know, to keep cool.
Yeah.
I go, if I have to wear a soaking wet cold towel, I don't want to be outside. Right. I don't want to go outside.
Well, it's going to be perfect for me because I'm driving from Tahoe, which is going to be 8 feet of snow and 20 degrees, and driving the 14 hours to Phoenix. So it's going to be a very subtle, slow. Yeah. I'm going to suddenly be near L.A. and go, wait a minute, I guess I can open my windows now.
Next year, the listeners will pick where you go on vacation.
No
chance. You just have to go there.
Not a chance.
They'll be picking like North Dakota.
If you give me a free week of vacation, damn right I'll
do
it.
Now, do you stay with the daughter in Tahoe or do you stay at an Airbnb?
No, I stay with the daughter
because
and,
I thought,
and her five roommates.
Because I thought she lived in the back of a pickup truck.
That's what he's going to live,
She did. She found five or six Vermonters that live in Tahoe.
Wow.
And moved out of the truck and they actually have a house.
Oh, nice. Oh,
what is it, witness relocation from Vermont? What the hell, for crying out loud.
Oh, man, it's a great place.
Oh, jeez. Well, you'll have a good time. That's what, a week? In 1 week you're going
to
be taking off?
It's Wednesday to Wednesday.
And you're going to bring back a t-shirt for me, and not the t-shirt that says, our co-host went on vacation and all I got was this lousy t-shirt or something like that.
Sure, I'll bring you back a...
not a coyote.
I'll bring you an empty beer can from Peoria Stadium.
No, I got to
get... Please do, because that's where the Mariners are.
I got to get a University of Arizona thing. A University of Arizona t-shirt. I mean, come on now. U of A.
Why would you need that? I see you sweating in a disgusting basketball U of A shirt.
I hear that they're going to fire Sean Miller tomorrow.
Really?
Just throw that in.
Sources exclusive, Darnie.
Sources exclusive of my minions down there in Tucson, Arizona, which I'm completely unhappy about, by the way. So I'm not happy that this is going down. I'm still a little confused. What the hell? ESPN had to contract three stories.
I know they had him fired that night. Like
they had him fired that night. Yeah. They got the dates wrong, and they may have gotten the player wrong. But besides that, everything was pretty much good.
And they
on
had
that.
The coach's name wrong.
Yeah, unbelievable. Travis and Milton already sent a Town Fair Tire text line, which we'll read later on, because I guess it's a hot button issue, Rich. It's about already protesting, which we're going to get to in the second segment.
Yes, that should be fun.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll tell you about that. Brady, matter of fact, tell us what's coming up on the show.
Trivia tonight, City Sports Grill, 7:30.
Yes.
Get their half-price burgers, as you would say, fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes.
And rumor has it that like a lot of our bosses are going. So,
oh, wow.
So come make
do
us
we
look
have
good.
Bosses?
How many bosses do we have?
Yeah, I didn't even know we had any.
Everyone on our sales staff is going to hang out today. So come make us look good.
The only boss I know is in Florida.
Come make us look good.
Do we have a boss in Florida?
Yeah. Today.
Wow. Didn't even know that. I thought I was the boss. Yeah. How about that?
Which means we're off at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I thought Brady was the boss.
As for what's coming up on the show, we'll do the 4-minute football fix at 4:35. Before that, though, we will get to that hot button issue. Exclusive to 101.3 ESPN, we are getting word that there will be protests at the UVM men's basketball game, the America East Championships, starting on Saturday against Maine, 7 o'clock. So we'll tell you what exactly we know is going on, and we'll get your reaction to it. Buster Olney at 5 o'clock. We'll do our daily spring training update also. But first, let's start with a little football, because yesterday we thought Gronk was retiring. That was pretty much a done deal yesterday. And then today, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network comes out and says, nah, he thinks Gronk's going to be back.
What I am told, though, is he took several weeks off to kind of let loose and put football in the back of his mind and really kind of set himself free after football. He did ponder retirement. He did discuss potentially moving to another venue, WWE for once, maybe Hollywood. But the belief now is those things will come after his football career. The belief now, Mike, is that Gronkowski will continue his football career with the Patriots. I know it was a difficult year physically for him, and certainly he's been through a lot. But right now, I have not talked to one person who believes Rob Gronkowski will retire. The expectation is he's back in a Patriots uniform in 2018.
Obviously, he didn't speak to me.
Wow.
Because you think he's done.
I totally think he's done. Matter of fact, just listening to that soundbite, I'm more convinced than ever that he's done.
I'd be more convinced based on what we heard yesterday, which I can play also. Yeah. But Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston, he spoke pretty at length yesterday about what he knows about Gronk and about how deep this has been in Gronk's thought process. It goes back as far as training
camp. Yes, I know. Yeah.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
I agree. See, I agree with that one 100% because there's some details in that that Ian Rappaport didn't bring up. Yes, that is now being reported. That is common knowledge. I mean, I'm assuming it's common knowledge that Gronk was going to retire. It was considering retiring in spring training now or
training camp.
My thing is this, though. Is that just, did Gronk come out and say that, or are we just speculating? If that's true, Ian Rappaport was supposed to say something like that. I've also heard the rehab, the TB12, they wouldn't let him do this. I also heard that story. I'm assuming that's true. And Ian Rappaport didn't say that in his thing. And
I said it was a tough year.
Yeah, well, but he didn't say about how he's mad about, like Tom Curran said, that about the whole rehab and the TB12. And from what I understand, that really, really bothered Gronk a lot to that situation.
Well, let's get to this, too, then. This is what you're referring to, Tom Curran talking about Gronk, how he felt last year in training camp about being held out of training camp. Remember, the Pats wouldn't play him.
Right, right.
See, I don't think the Patriots have yet to take this extremely seriously.
It sounds like you do, too.
Yeah,
I'm taking it very seriously.
In my estimation, the Patriots haven't taken seriously just how beaten down he's been. And, you know, I talked to him in December at his locker room. I said, you're playing unbelievable. I said, the training and the ability. He goes, I've never had this much fun on the field as I've had right now. I'm having more fun than I've ever had. But again, he talked about how training camp was really, he said it was embarrassing, it was humiliating, he couldn't play, and he had difficulty convincing people that he should be able to go and train a particular way to get right.
You know who he just backed up, don't you? The guy from Philadelphia, what's his name? I'm sorry, I forgot his name. The one that said it's no fun to play in for Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, Lane Johnson.
Yeah, he just backed it up. He said he loves playing the game. He didn't say anything about having fun in the preseason. That's exactly what Lane was saying.
It corroborates my story, too. Remember, I got the source that Deion Lewis was, quote, frustrated in New England. I also had an additional source tell me that there are Patriot players that say that it is, quote, not very fun to play in Foxborough.
Well, the thing is, for me, Tommy Curran spoke with Gronk, apparently. The whole thing with Ian Rappaport, boy, I hope he's right, as a Pats fan, obviously, but did he ever talk to Gronk about this? Did Gronk tell him? Or he said, my sources say this. And all this stuff about my sources just makes me wonder. Because this story is changing by the hour.
Yeah, yeah. There's no. I don't think Tom E. Curran spoke to Gronk. I know he said he spoke to Gronk, but not recently. I think like this was early, like maybe as far as before or a little bit after last year, the training camp. Or am I wrong?
Tommy Curran said he spoke to him in December.
Oh, in December. So January, February, March. Okay.
Yeah, he said he spoke to him in December.
Okay.
But Gronk reiterated to him how frustrating training camp was going back even months earlier.
Right. And we didn't really know about the, you know, about the retirement toll after the Super Bowl. And stuff
and I mean, for me, it was like, okay, ha-ha, very funny. He's frustrated. He just lost a tough game, and so he's just, you know, spewing this stuff out. And then it became like 20% worried, then 50-50. So, I mean, I guess this is good news. We'll see. If he does come back and they sign Martellus Bennett, that certainly solves a problem.
As far as Gronk goes, obviously the Patriots need to know what's going on with him. They want him back in the fold. He's a big part of their team, but they've won without him. Let's remember that. They've won a Super Bowl without him. 2 years ago when they beat Atlanta, they played most of that season without him. So he's not irreplaceable. He just is a really, really nice bonus to everything that they do. But more so than that, I think this validates the Seth Wickersham article even more to me from ESPN. And I was so tired of Patriot fans. It's not because we're an ESPN affiliate. ESPN doesn't own us. It's not because my brother works at ESPN. It just frustrates me when Patriot fans will say, oh, ESPN's out to get us. Oh, ESPN is always negative against the Patriots. And here we are. Seth Wickersham 2 months ago told us there's problems in there. And now those problems are coming out. So this validates his work to me even more.
I'm not so sure about that. Like, what problems? I mean, Gronk, we hear the Rappaport side, and we hear the Curran side. If there was a major problem, I think we'd have tipped off a little bit more from Butler or from, what's his face? I can't remember his name. Or Deion Lewis. I think they would have tipped us off a little bit more and be a little bit more upset about
that.
There
was so much stuff leading up to the Super Bowl that had nothing to do with anything. The part, you know, about the TB12 guy, Brady's Guerrero, and just all this stuff they were throwing against the wall. I think the reason why the impression is that ESPN doesn't like the Patriots is because they're constantly talking about them. Because when you talk about the Patriots, it drives ratings.
And remember this, though, Arnie. Yesterday, Mark Daniels, who we've had on, Providence Journal Patriots writer, he came out and said, the Patriots did not let me write a story about Gronk working with TB12. So it leads me to believe that the Patriots hate Guerrero. The Patriots hate the TB12 method, as Wickersham reported, and Brady's the only one who seems to be allowed to get away with it publicly.
Can you do that, by the way? We're going to make sure. Was he on the Patriot beat, I guess? And
he's on the Patriot beat.
And they said, we'll take you away from the beat if you go ahead and write that story, or what?
My guess would be there's a couple of things. My guess would be, one, they didn't make Guerrero available. That would be one thing. They didn't allow him access to Guerrero. Two would be, I guess you could go with the theory that there's the threat, we'll revoke your credentials if you write this.
Right.
I don't know which one of those is true, but I guess both of those are possible. But it leads me to believe that, look, we know that guys, you know, Amendola uses TB12. We've never really heard anything more about it publicly other than that he uses it. Same with Gronk. The Patriots are putting the kibosh on talking about TB12 unless it's Brady. That leads me to believe there's more weight to what Wickersham wrote 2 months ago.
I thought when you get older, you're supposed to ease up a little bit and really not care, especially when you've accomplished as much as Bill Belichick. It seems like he's going the other way around, and it's like, you know what? I don't give a damn what you're telling me. I've got the skins on the wall. I've got my Super Bowls. And he's being more of a curmudgeon than ever. I thought he would, I really thought, I'm being serious, I thought he would, like, ease up a little bit and say, oh, what the hell? All right, Tom, I guess I could trust you now. Yeah. You know, he doesn't trust anybody.
Right, and I think the fact that he's getting more curmudgeon-y is made worse by the fact that we'll never know about what happened with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. And I think that was the tipping point for even Patriots fans when it came to how they felt about Bill Belichick.
What's his face wouldn't answer that question today?
Matt Patricia.
But Matt Patricia wouldn't answer that. You're not even on the team anymore. You don't even answer the question.
Yeah, he doesn't. Need to. Patriot business is Patriot business. He's right.
Well, what happens if he was not on the team? Like he was cut or a free agent or something like that? Then he would have said something? I don't think he would have said something.
Well, Butler's a free agent as it is.
Well, he should have said, then it's not Patriot business then. In Patriot business,
what went on, what was said behind closed doors with the Patriots is Patriot business.
Hey, think about the situation, the scenario too. You're in Detroit. You're getting your team ready. You know, you're getting ready for the combine. You're all about that. Matt Patricia's all about the Detroit Lions right now. And if you're going to ask him a pile of questions about has-been stuff, it's...
I just wanted an answer, I think, more than anything.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I want that answer more than any other answer to anything.
All right, Brady, what is coming up next?
Reported protests on the way for Saturday night's America East playoff game at UVM. Let's be calm. Let's all be respectful. Let's all be rational. And let's have a conversation about it next.
That is coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and The Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. A super busy Wednesday. Lots going on. Remember, we got trivia tonight at the City Sports Grill. Come on by. Brady's going to be hosting at Price Burgers. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go ahead and chow on down. Rich is probably going to stop on by. So come check it out. And my wife did dumb it down today.
I
know, but she did dumb it down this time.
Those questions were hard. Some of them were so hard, I felt guilty
them. She was almost in tears going, I read the questions to Brady, and he got like a bunch right. I'm like, oh, just relax. Just relax, for crying out loud. All right, Brady, big story. It's breaking today. What's going on at the UVM men's game Saturday?
Yes, UVM is going to play Maine. 15-1 UVM is. They'll take on Maine Saturday night, 7 p.m. Patrick Jim America East playoffs. Sources have told 101.3 ESPN exclusively that a group of demonstrators is working to assemble a group to peacefully protest at Saturday night's game. The group will reportedly wear Black Lives Matter shirts and could kneel for the anthem. No idea how big the group is or could get. It's unclear as to which group is leading this possible demonstration. It could be a mix of students and non-students working for change both on campus and in the community. And we've received additional messaging that says this has been in the works for months. This group has been planning this as far back as when St. Michael's players protested the anthem at UVM for an exhibition game before the season even started. And I am hearing that faculty members at UVM are involved.
Wow. That's a big one there. Right. Just a couple of things on this. First of all, the last protest that was one held by Maine on near Main Street, I from what I understood, that was from like a group that was not from the area that was coming up. So I don't know if that's 100% true, but that's the story that got leaked out there.
I do not know if those were they. I mean, I'm just looking at the video of it. They looked like college age people.
If they're now, again, if what you just said, Brady, is how they're going to protest, I'm going to go on that assumption.
Yes.
Because if peaceful protest could mean a lot of things.
Yes, it could.
What happens if the kids decide they're going to peacefully just walk out onto the court and sit down on the court? And then UVM would maybe have to forfeit and lose the game.
Right. There's so many.
I'm just asking. I don't know if that's possible.
My understanding is that the – and I don't want to go to the speculative like that. From what I know, tickets have been bought by members of this group.
Right.
They plan on being paid – you know, they are paying customers for this game. They will wear T-shirts, kneel for the anthem. I don't know what else they would do beyond it. I don't want to play the what if game.
For going just by that, kneeling for the anthem and stuff like that, let me just say, first of all, I don't like that they're doing it at a UVM sporting event. But I will say this. I will stand behind the students. That's what free speech is all about. I will stand behind them if they feel like there is a big injustice there. And I think they do have the right to protest.
Yep.
As long as they don't disrupt the game. I think doing it in that manner, they bought tickets, they're wearing T-shirts, they're kneeling for the anthem. I don't myself feel like I think that's disrespect to the anthem, and we've talked about that before. But that's beside the point. I would still stand behind the students saying, hey, they have every right to kneel, to wear the shirts, and even to do it at the sporting event on the UVM campus. So I would be behind the students.
This is why we need to know what we're talking about here. We have no idea. Are we talking, I mean, first of all, you can only put so many people in there because the season ticket base is probably 80% of the people. Well, it might be high. 70% of the people that go to these games, that might even be high. So you can only get so many people in there that are non-season ticket holders anyway. But, I mean, the first text immediately, I'd arrest everyone involved. You know, I mean, that's not what we're looking at here. If somebody's going to walk in with it, since when do you arrest someone for wearing a Black Lives Matter? And you can say what you want about that whole cause, but you can't arrest someone for wearing a shirt that says Black Lives Matter into a basketball game.
No, you can't arrest people for protesting, though, but go ahead.
Peaceful protesting, they would have every right to do. Now, I don't think that the venue is... I don't even know if I want to say appropriate. I don't think that the venue was conducive to the cause. And what I mean by that is, and again, we don't have all the details, but if this is majority student-led, and from what I've followed in the news, the group is No Names for Justice. That's the group that's on campus protesting what they perceive to be injustices on campus. If they are involved, and if they are the principal leaders, I would say, okay, you have problems with what's going on campus. Now, Patrick Jim is on campus, so I understand that part of it. But most of the people that go to those games are not related to the campus. Most of the people that go to those games are townspeople.
Yes.
They are not students. They are not all faculty. You're not going to get your message out to the people that you want to hear it if it's at the basketball game. If 70% of the fan base is general population and not students, faculty, administrators, I don't know that that's the place that I would do it. Not because I disagree with them, not because I don't like it, but because I just don't know that it meshes with what they're trying to accomplish.
I think they want to, well, I'm just sorry. I don't think it's the people there, guys. I think it's the three or four TV stations that will be there covering the game. Yeah. The radio station, I think that's their MO. I think it's to get in front of all the TV and radio.
It's so hard to decide how to feel about this because we have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, and as ridiculous as it sounds, what if they do go out onto the court and lie down at midcourt? Then if you're trying to sell me your cause, that's not going to be the way to do it. Just like blocking Main Street allowing me to get home to my family is not the way to go about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Blocking Main Street, is that considered a peaceful protest?
Well, I don't know, but if you're trying to win people over, you don't do it that way.
I think peaceful is anything that doesn't put someone else in harm. That's how I interpret it. I don't know what the dictionary definition is, but that's how I interpret it.
Well, you could also interpret it, you may be in harm. Suppose an ambulance had to go through, a police car had to go through, and they couldn't get through because, you know, for some emergency because you're blocking the street. So, I don't know how we're going to define this. And by the way, Town Fair Tire text line is, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. One, do you care that the kids are going to protest? Are you behind the kids that they're going to go ahead and protest? And I'm going to stand behind the kids even though I don't agree with them.
Remember, it may not all be kids. I've told you UVM faculty are involved, and there could be a group of non-students as well. And I don't know if those non-students would be protesting in support of the students, or do they have separate issues with the town itself? So, again,
it's you could say I'm standing behind the American people's right to protest,
right, okay.
and that's fine too, but because that certainly is their right.
For me, it all comes down to what the platform is. Are you going to have 500 people standing outside of Patrick Gym on Saturday handing out leaflets and yelling and holding signs? I have no problem with that. But if you're going to be blocking access to the door, or you're going to sit down on the court just like blocking traffic, then things change. It's completely based on what they plan to do. If they want to hand me a leaflet about their cause, I will happily take one and study it.
Could you imagine if they did this about a month ago? If they protested and they blocked the entrance, and there was a guy that had a heart attack, and there was somebody else that fainted that same game,
yep.
Right? There was two. Could you imagine if they blocked and the ambulance had a tough time getting to this guy,
yep.
or getting him to the hospital, and he died because of that?
It makes all the difference in the world what the platform is.
Again,
like I said, if they're going to block traffic, I have a different answer to for you.
I don't want to take it to that place because, as far as I know, this
but they
is,
already did that once though.
Right, we're talking about the basketball game. We're not talking about a month ago or a week ago or what else has gone on campus.
Right, but if we don't know how they're going to protest, and they could do it, and you said it's peaceful, so there could be many different ways to have a peaceful protest.
I am under the impression that it's they've bought tickets. They're going to have shirts. They're going to sit. They're going to be at the game. They're going to kneel the anthem. Beyond that, I have no other information.
I got to say, first of all, I'm going to call BS on buying tickets. If you're a student, you can get in with your card, can't you?
The first group of students, I think. I think you have to pay beyond a point. There's
okay.
only
because I thought
X amount of free
tickets. Free, so.
And I mean, there's a lot of repercussions to this too. Let's say it is a peaceful protest. Let's say there's 500 protesters at the game. They immediately 500 people kneel for the anthem. You know how tight things are at Patrick Gym. You can barely breathe in there. It's so packed for a packed house. Is that going to be conducive to peace and peaceful discussion among people if the guy next to you is kneeling for the national anthem? I think that's going to open up some problems right from the get-go, and I think security might be busy if that's the case.
Also, is it going to be disruptive? I mean, you could have a peaceful protest.
Distracting.
Distracting. Not,
what
well,
about the game?
Yeah, it was supposed exactly. Suppose it distracts the players, and they end up, I know it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but it's the first round of the tournament. They'd be out of the NCAA tournament if something like that happened.
Yeah.
You know, it is a big game, though. Maybe that should take a back seat. I know we're getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line, Brady, so if you want to go through and scroll through them and read through them, we can go through every one. I don't care, but I'm just – they're coming in kind of fast.
Someone says, instead of speculating all day, why don't we wait and discuss Monday?
Oh, no. What are you kidding? So you mean like if there's a game coming up on – like if the Patriots are playing on Sunday, I'm going to say,
right.
Oh, let's not speculate on who's going to win the game?
Isn't that our –
no,
isn't that what we
no,
do here
what
is speculation?
Wrong with you? No. And they said they're going to protest. And you know what? Only they know what they're going to do. And that may change right before the game. So, no.
I feel bad for the players – that, number one, you're right, could they get distracted? I mean, they've worked hard to come together for a common goal, and it's being taken away from. And I feel bad for the players that their sport, that their game, that their time to shine is being used as a place to prop up other values, no matter what those values are, whether I agree with them or not, no matter what cause that they support. I feel bad that there is a group of people there looking to utilize the basketball team's popularity and say this is the most effective way to get our message out.
You think anybody that was going to go to the game may change their mind now and not go to the game?
I think there will be, yes.
You think that one person or whoever may not go to the game could have been a scout and want to scout UVM players and maybe take them overseas, Europe or whatever, and that's his job?
No, I think the scouts will go no matter what.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I think fans.
That's why I just asked you that question.
I think fans who disagree with the cause. I could see a small number. I mean, I could see people not going to the game if they disagree with the cause or they don't want to deal with what could be a raucous fan base.
And let's face it, the longstanding joke at Patrick has been that their fan base, the majority of them that go to those games, maybe even not the majority, but more than a lot of other places, is that it is white, older, suburban crowd. That's who goes to UVM basketball games. Do they want to walk into this huge protest with people yelling and screaming and potentially disrupting their relaxing sports experience?
First-time texter, if they're protesting in the stands, fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If they disrupt the game, they should be dealt with like anyone else would be dealt with. But myself and a group of friends decided to block the road, I would likely be arrested. We know that there's a double standard here. I'm not so sure about that.
But do you want to listen to 500 people screaming Black Lives Matter for 2.5 hours at the top of their lungs while you're trying to relax and watch a basketball game? I mean, do you see where that could be distracting?
Right.
Not only in the stands, and you live with it, it's fine, but for the players, I would think that could be a distraction. I mean, we're just guessing here.
Yeah, I don't think that's a peaceful protest, though, if they do something like that.
Steven on our Facebook page says, this isn't really fair to the UVM team. This doesn't feel like the time or the place. That's where I think I'm at on this. I don't go to school at UVM, and I don't admittedly follow the campus as close as the students do, okay? All I know is that the people who come on our program and the people who I deal with are respectful, nice, courteous, yep, accompanying, helpful, but I don't know what goes on at campus, and neither do either one of us. But it feels to me like if the students are the front runners on this cause, and their problems with the administration, they're not going to reach that group of people as well, because they're going to be connecting with the townspeople most on Saturday night and not the student body or the faculty members. That's what I think, at least initially.
Which is the problem I had originally with the street blocking. I know you want to keep it with the basketball and the Saturday potential protest, but that's the problem I had. If they're trying to reach out to the people in the community by blocking their access to getting home to their family after a long day at work, is that really the best strategy?
I just don't know how they've been planning this out for months when we didn't even know we were going to have a game at 6:30. This is the first round of the tournament, right? I mean, I guess we were assuming.
Well, you could pretty much know they were going to be hosting a game on Saturday.
We did not know the time of the game until the time of the game was officially released, I want to say, on Sunday night.
But we knew they were playing a game on Saturday. Correct. I mean, you knew that a month ago.
The first round has been set all season. Yeah. We knew when the date was.
Pretty much it would be a home game.
You're right about that. Tom Fertitta, text line 802-655-6672. Is this a big deal? Is it a little deal? Is it no deal, Brady? Or are we making too much about this? Obviously, the group that's protesting takes it very seriously.
I want to say the number was six. If six St. Michael's players and two coaches knelt for the anthem, and there was all the negative backlash that came with that, if there's a group of a pretty good sized contingent of fans, I think that it's going to get some. I think it's going to be a very big deal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't. I don't even know what this texter just sent in. I can't even read that. So
I don't know what it is either.
I'm not sure. He was probably typing too fast for crying out loud. So, like I said, we're getting a lot on the Tom Fertitta text line 802-655-6672. I'm curious to see how many are going to be protesting. I'm curious to see where they're going to be sitting, too, because I think one part is blocked off just strictly for the students, or can anybody sit there?
There is in the upper right.
There is a student section, yes.
Yeah. So
when you walk in the building, it'd be on the left.
Yeah, upper left, yeah.
It's the left set of stands, but it is on the right side of the set of stands, closest to directly behind the opponent's bench.
Yes.
I wonder, that's going to be curious to see where they're going to be positioned, what their shirts are going to say, how much of a disruption it's going to be. And how the people at the game are going to react to it, too. That's what I'm going to be curious because, even though they're kneeling, I don't think it's appropriate to be booing the people that are kneeling because it's still the national anthem.
But that's what my point was. What is going to be the reaction when you're sitting right next? I mean, you're putting potentially hundreds of people together with opposite political views sitting practically in each other's laps the way it's configured at Patrick Gym.
Stewart says in Ferrisburg, could be another Middlebury College. Big deal, possibly. Stewart driving around. There's a lot of first-time texters. Another question, will any players be involved in the protest, too? I wouldn't assume so, Brady, but
I wouldn't assume so. Remember, we talked to Coach Becker before the season officially started against Kentucky, but after the St. Mike's thing, and he said that they had talked about the anthem and that they were going to be united. I can't see the UVM. I think this UVM team is, and I know basketball in comparison is trivial compared to the issues at hand in our country, but I think this team is so senior-led, so veteran-focused, and so laser-focused on trying to get back to the tournament. I don't know that they're going to let anything get in the way.
What happens if they were wearing shirts, too, for, like, warm-ups?
Then I think, I don't want to speculate.
I think that's going too far out as to reality.
Is it so what the Clippers did? What are you talking about?
It's the NBA.
I think this is a completely different story. I just don't think political statements that, warming up before a playoff game is where UVM wants to take
Adam
this.
Adam says, who cares? Let them protest and move on. A lot of people actually.
That's exactly right.
A lot of people feel that way. Yep. Who cares? Let them protest.
No, I just think it's
on.
Interesting because it, there's so many different layers to all of this. Where will they be? How will it affect the game? Will they just be standing outside? Will they be in the lobby? It's where are they going to be?
Right. That, and I'm curious to see how that plays out also. If you want to get in on that, we'll continue reading you a text on that, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Brady, what is coming up next?
Four-minute football fix, NFL Combine style.
I think we got more than 4 minutes, but we'll try to squeeze it in 4 minutes. That's coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your four-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Wednesday. It's Hump Day. Member Trivia City Sports Grill. Come on by. Brady's going to host starting at 7:30, Brady. Half-price burgers, all kinds of food and drink specials. We usually get great crowds for this, so come on by for a little trivia. We've been doing it every Wednesday night at the City Sports Grill up in Colchester, right next to Costco. You know where it is. Yeah. It's right next to Costco.
Mountain View Drive?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's Mountain View Drive, but it's right next to Costco,
yeah,
for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to miss that.
Is Costco going to finish do their parking lot and get the gas station open? Is it open yet? They've been working on that for like a year.
Yeah, it has been a while. Jeez. Well, they only talked about it for about as long as they talked about the CERC.
I want to get some gas. It's a discounted gas already. Brady, what are we doing here? What's coming up?
The four-minute football fix,
yes.
Of course. Four-minute football fix. John Gruden spoke today for the first time as the official head coach of the Oakland Raiders again. I got to turn down
did
the
Did he make a face? Did he do a Chucky face?
Oh, he did a bunch of Chucky faces.
Oh, I hate when he does that.
John Gruden, he also spoke, though, about the Patriots.
I'm envious of the Patriots. I really am. The Patriot way. Finding players that are versatile. Finding players that can adapt on a weekly basis to win a game. You know, they don't care how they beat you either. They're not afraid to use the 60-minute clock to beat you in the final seconds, and they're not afraid to blow you out either. But they can morph themselves into a two-back team. They can come out with five receivers and play no-back formations. It's just a pleasure to watch them adapt every year.
See if he feels that way as a head coach.
I'm rooting against him.
Against Gruden?
Yeah, I just don't like him. I really don't.
What was wrong with that stuff?
Not just the, so much that. I think, like, the TV, I think he's a phony. He loved every quarterback, and then he started hating everybody the last couple of years. I just think he's a big phony. I don't want the Raiders to win, and I don't like Gruden. And now it makes it very easy for me to root against them since I hate the Raiders and Gruden altogether.
But you love Vegas, and they're going to be in Vegas
soon. I do love Vegas.
And what are you going
to do? I don't know that, but I do love Vegas. It's been a long time since I've been there.
In 2 years, you're going to be all about Gruden.
Yeah, I don't care about the Raiders. I'll still root for them to lose, but at least I'll be enjoying gambling and stuff like that. Look, I don't think he's going to do better. I think he's like going to be a 500 team. I see 8-8. This was the year the Raiders were supposed to be good anyway, but I'm curious to see how he's going to be on the sideline, his demeanor, and the whole nine yards there.
You know, it was interesting. He also spoke, though, a lot about going back to old-school football. He said he wanted to treat it like it was 1998.
That's a mistake.
Said he didn't understand all the data. He didn't care about all the data.
Well, that's good.
He would have people
Is that Belichick talking or what?
He would have people to interpret the data for him, and they would use some of it. But bottom line, he just wants football players who want to play the game.
He should go back a little further than that if he wants to make the Oakland Raiders successful. I don't know, maybe Daryl LaMonica, quarterback,
LaMonica,
and Fred Biletnikoff catching passes.
Jeez, that doesn't say, you know, you're supposed to be the new wave guy. You know, you're supposed to be looking at the iPads and all that, the one Belichick threw in the trash. Was that Belichick?
The Surface, Microsoft.
I think that's just sort of a Gruden act, don't you? I mean, you can't tell me he's not paying attention to all the latest stuff.
I probably agree with you there, Rich.
One of the things, though, I do think, though, kind of by default, if they take back the pass interference penalty to just 15 yards, I think we're going to see more old-school football because teams are going to realize that throwing the ball deep is no longer as beneficial to you because you're not going to get the benefit of the call. Like, now you have a couple of different outcomes in your favor. We're going to make the catch, we're going to get the flag, and it'll get picked, or it'll fall to the ground.
Yep.
Three of those four are positive to the offense. It falls to the ground, there's a flag, or you catch it. The only one that's negative is it gets picked. Now if you take away that deep pass flag, Maybe we're going to see more of an emphasis on the run game.
You still got to throw it deep because now defenses will start inching up, and the only way you'll get this to keep them honest is throwing it deep.
You're going to throw it deep, but it's going to be thrown deep with a purpose rather than just a prayer. Yeah.
Well, you got to keep them off the running game too, Brady. You're right about that.
I just think you're going to see more of a commitment, coupled with the fact that there is good running backs coming out in this draft. There's a number of running backs that are good on the free agent market. And this possible rule change, I do think the running game has more of an emphasis.
And I feel like guys, you know, like Le'Veon Bell and to a lesser degree, James White are going to play bigger roles if that rule gets implemented. You're going to have guys coming out of the backfield because you're going to see a lot more of that 10 to 15-yard stuff over the middle. And I just think the running backs are going to become a big part of that.
Every team's going to look like the Patriots offensively.
Yes. Well, is that a bad thing?
I think the team, exactly what the 49ers did when Jimmy Garoppolo went there, put those points on the board. The West Coast offense, short, dink, dunk, yeah. And even though he did throw a little bit downfield, I think he's going to benefit great from this. So, remember when I brought that up yesterday, that was a deep running back draft? Saw an article today, not only deep running back, deep wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
No doubt, Patriots aren't keeping any of the garbage running backs they have. All those guys are going to be gone.
Well, White's on the team still.
Well, Deion Lewis isn't going to be on the team. I'll bet you
probably
dollars.
Not.
But you know what?
Dollars to donuts.
I told you that a month ago. I told you he was frustrated in New England and wants out. Don't act like you called that.
No, I told you before the year.
Exactly.
I told you before the year if you got five running backs, but you don't have one.
Says the guy with no memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Your assessment of calling them garbage is not right. So don't act like that's true.
It is true.
No, it's not.
Who's garbage?
The running game.
Every running back. No, not the running game. Every running back, you said.
Yeah,
Deion Lewis
much.
Is garbage. Rex Burkhead's garbage. Gillis Lee's garbage. White's garbage.
If I was taking running backs, including the draft coming in, I don't know if the three you just mentioned would be in my top 50.
Is Le'Veon Bell garbage because he's a running back?
No, but I wouldn't take him because the money he's demanding. I'm not going to hamstring my team for a guy that will give me not the same production, but close to it, and I'll save a boatload of money, too. No, I'm not touching it.
The one part I agree with running backs is that they come and go very, very quickly. You better grab them at the right time because you're only going to get about two or three good years out of most of them.
Other news and notes from the Combine today. Former Bears and Jets running back Matt Forte is retiring.
Yeah. I always liked him.
Does it matter all that much? No. He carried a lot of your fantasy teams over an eight-year period or so. He's got the most yards from scrimmage since 2008. An incredibly productive player. The Panthers cut Jonathan Stewart. I'm looking at the New York Giants as a possible home for him. Yeah. The Panthers' connection with Gettleman, and now Mike Shula is that quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. If Jonathan Stewart has anything left, I think he could be in New York.
Yeah, I mean, he had 700 yards and six touchdowns last year. His problem was always, as I recall, he was swapping. This is the fantasy angle for me, was always that he was swapping with D'Angelo Williams for Carolina. He just never got to be the featured back.
They were the two-back system for them for a long time.
Now, he's 30 years old. He's going to play this season at 31. So can he carry the ball 300 times for you? No, I don't think so. But if the Giants take Saquon Barkley at two, and you pair Barkley with Stewart, then you've got a 1-2 punch. Yeah. If you go late in the draft and get a shifty back like Kamara and Kareem Hunt, who came out of the third round last year, and pair them with the bulldozer that's Stewart, I think you've got a good 1-2. Other news and notes, Mike Glennon's going to get cut from the Bears after 1 year.
Did he make $18 million this year on four games?
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's a good game. That's pretty good.
That's interesting.
I could live with that.
And then the Cowboys are not going to give Ezekiel Elliott any kind of handler or special rules.
Well, that's shocking. That's so shocking. I can't believe they're not going to do that.
What do you mean by special rules?
Like the Dez Bryant stuff.
Yeah, they basically had a babysitter with these guys.
Yeah.
You don't think he needs one?
I do. Cowboys don't.
That's crazy. I mean, the fact that he was a bad boy may have cost him. How many games did he go? Was out last year? Six?
Yes.
And that cost him the season, didn't it? Had a lot to do with it, that suspension.
Yeah, but that was before he was a member of the Cowboys, so they wouldn't have had a babysitter there. Oh. Cam in Highgate says, Deion Lewis had over 800 yards last year, aren't he? Garbage? Yeah, still garbage. No. Let me tell you something. You could get anybody that would have given you 800 yards in that backfield there.
But the backfield stunk, you just said.
One guy, though. When you have five, you're not using one. You will use one guy.
That it makes me so irritated when you say that.
I don't know
why.
But a lot of teams, some use two, but a lot of teams use one.
Who won the Super Bowl this year?
Fill it off.
Okay. Did LeGarrette Blount carry the ball for them?
They traded for Jay Ajayi.
Right. LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, and Corey Clement all played big roles in the Super Bowl. three running backs.
Yeah, those three running backs are a hell of a lot better than the Patriots.
Were they garbage?
But you know what? They would have. Wait,
LeGarrette Blount's 120 years old.
I still think they would have won without Jay Ajayi. So I think they would have gone with the two running backs. Now, the fact that Carson Wentz got hurt, that's a whole different story.
But they also had Darren Sproles on that roster and Wendell Smallwood.
Yes, but
they
Sproles
had five running backs, too.
When did Sproles get hurt, though?
Early,
and,
but that's...
And he wasn't getting the... He was going to be used more for kickoffs and stuff like
and
that.
And catching passes out of the backfield like Deion Lewis.
Yeah, he wasn't
so
going to be
I've
the
got
running
you,
back.
I've got you so trapped in this web.
Does he have me trapped, Rich? Does he have me trapped?
Yes, he does. You went 51 minutes without saying anything ridiculous today. That's
pretty
impressive.
No, he doesn't have me trapped. Look, you guys know where I stand on the Patriot running back list. I don't... No surprise there.
Says the Dolphins,
you know,
man.
If you guys ever got a good running back, think how great the Patriots would be. I mean,
as opposed to what they are?
Brady, you pulled up the Patriots' all-time leading rushers. We were laughing at it. It was, like, embarrassing. It really is.
Is it like Jim Nance and Sam Cunningham?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not their offense as long as Brady's still upright.
We almost just crushed our number one. Brady, what do we got coming up next before we finish out
coming
the
up next, did you see the thing on SportsCenter about the University of Buffalo kid?
I saw this.
Who hit the half-court shot. We got a story.
Was that you?
No.
No, but we'll talk about it next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ouch! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Member City Sports Grill tonight, 7:30. Trivia, be there or be square. So, you know, and sometimes you could be the, well, you can't say be there or be square.
Do people say that?
I haven't heard that since 1988.
I'm bringing it back.
It's like...
I'm bringing it back.
It's like calling the minivan the loser cruiser.
You know what we're going to be, Brady? I have an idea for... And Rich, don't say anything. I have an idea I want to sell you, Brady. I'm going to go outside and pick up some rocks, and I'm going to call it a pet rock.
I've heard that. Yeah.
You've heard about it? Yeah. I was waiting for him to go, that's the dumbest idea ever. And I'm going, oh, it was only the number one Christmas gift that year that it came out with a pet rock.
Yeah, some guy's still living off the royalties.
Yeah.
Royalties.
I'm going to pick up I have a pet stick I'm working on, too. So. I couldn't believe that.
It's another one that people be there. It's like from Sandlot. L7 Weenie.
I don't know what that means.
No you don't know what that is?
No, we have no
Sandlot
idea.
Sandlot, that's a movie, right?
Oh, my God. What's Sandlot? Stop. That's just you playing dumb.
No,
it's a movie. That's all I know.
Yeah. It's the greatest children's sports movie of all time.
Yeah, but I don't know what L7 means or whatever you said.
It's one of the most iconic lines ever.
That line drive to left field.
L7. Dude's a geek, man. He's a geek. He's a loser. It's a L7 weenie.
I like my pet rock story better.
I don't know what that means.
Brady, what the...
People will take my side absolutely on the Town for Tire text line, by the way.
I doubt it, but tell they everybody will. What happened at the basketball game.
So at the University of Buffalo last night against the University of Akron, this kid hits a half-court shot and just goes nuts at halftime. Goes crazy. And they put it on SportsCenter, and Van Pelt's talking about it with Steve Levy, and they go... Based on this kid's reaction, what do you think he won? They put up,
tuition,
free tuition, a new car. Yeah.
10,000.
He won 12
13,
free.
13, I thought.
12.
12,
12 free medium pizzas.
Probably just cheese.
So he hits a half-court shot, goes crazy around the court, and all he gets out of it is 12 free medium pizzas. The funny part of the story is the guy's name is Kyle Hughes. He was in my brother's kindergarten class.
And you remembered that when he took the shot?
No, well, my brother tweeted it at me but to remind me of it. But I know Kyle Hughes, too, because – so we all know the Vermont Mountaineers, the NECBL team plays here in
Montpelier.
The summer. Well, in Albany, there's the Albany Dutchmen. They're in the NYCBL, the New York Collegiate Baseball League. I threw out the first pitch at the Albany Dutchmen a couple years ago.
For doing what?
For being a personality at the radio station there.
Okay.
Kyle Hughes, the same Kyle Hughes, was the PR intern who was like my handler for that day throwing out the first pitch. So so that kid who was my handler throwing out the first pitch was in my brother's kindergarten class. 112 free media.
Have you ever won any? Have you ever done that? Attempted that? Won anything like that? Or
no? Well, the best
lottery ticket. Anything?
Best I ever did was when a former Duke player who had gone to my school system came to our middle school and had us play shooting games in front of the entire school. And I didn't win.
What about Rich? Nothing? Lottery ticket?
No, never bought a lottery ticket.
I went on a game show and won. I'm the only person.
You did. You won a trip to Trichomania.
No. Micronesia.
Micronesia.
Yes.
And by the way, in L7 Weenie, as people are reminding us, Shane in Burlington,
Coming in more on this than
L7 Weenie is a square. Okay. He's like, he's a square.
Yeah, I get it now. I get it now. Somebody just said Brady, best kids sports movie? Bad News Bears, not the garbage remake. Kelly Leak is one bad mother. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's totally.
But anyway, the funniest thing to me out of that whole pizza thing, the half court shot, is it's only medium pizza.
I know they couldn't get.
Can't get a kid a large.
They go, you can't get a large or some wings being at University of Buffalo.
All right, we got to get the Buster Olney's coming up next. Hour two, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox win in spring training today 4-3. Dustin Pedroia back on the field for his first workouts of the spring. Not in the game, but back on the backfield. J.D. Martinez should make his debut next week for the Sox. Robbie Scott got the win today. The Yankees lost in spring training action earlier as well. And breaking news exclusively into 101.3 ESPN that there is a group of protesters planning a demonstration at Saturday night's UVM America East Conference tournament opener against Maine. That game is 7 o'clock. Buster Olney comes up next. Hour 2 starts, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we're always streaming, so take us anywhere, 101.3 ESPN app.
Local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Mere moments away from Buster Olney getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line like this one. Rich, Doug in Champlain says, I got your back, Brady. Maybe you should make the old farts watch it. Doug and Champlain. We should have like old movie night where we go to like the drive-in or we go to like City Sports School and just put the movie up on the screen there.
My problem is that if there's so many hundreds of movies that everyone else has seen that I've never seen, I mean, where do you start?
Right,
I've never seen any of the Star Wars. I've never seen any Indiana Jones.
But we're talking mostly sports movies, though.
Sports movies, yeah.
I mean, the Bad News Bears, have you not seen
that? No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen the Bad News Bears?
Nope. No,
Walter Matthau? Even for Walter Matthau? You know Walter Matthau.
I do. He's famous.
Oh, that movie is so iconic.
He was in Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah, but I mean, he was great in the bad. I mean, he'd be drinking beer in the dugout.
And nice. Like Tom Hanks.
It was totally funny. That's your homework assignment. You have to watch Bad News Bears by Friday.
I watch about one movie a year.
Shame on you. No Bad News Bears?
Just better things to do with my life.
Someone said Bad News Bears or Mighty Ducks. Oh, Bad News Bears.
Couldn't tell you.
You haven't even seen the Mighty Ducks?
I have not. Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, it's Emilio, I think.
Oh,
Emilio
is it the other Sheen? Yeah. Other Estevez?
Emilio Sheen. It's Emilio Estevez.
Martin Emilio Sheen's Estevez. Kids, whatever it is.
Yeah. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, our MLB insider from ESPN. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
What's happening?
Hey, well, you've been to the Yankees. You've been to the Red Sox camp. I guess the crowds must be going crazy for the Yankees camp. But tell us what you've seen so far down there.
Yeah, and I've been to the Nationals camp, and I saw the Astros, and I went to the Cardinals camp as well. Look, I think the thing that really jumps out just in talking with the players is how excited the players are for Aaron Boone and for Alex Cora. And these are two guys who are friends, and I've known them well and worked with them. But they really are sort of at the forefront at this point of this new wave of managers who, you know, they're chosen because they get along well with people. And I asked Ellen Betances, for example, about, okay, tell me about, you know, your conversations with Boone. He goes, you know, I talked to him a lot when he was a broadcaster. He said, but I probably talked to him 10 times during the winter, and then we're texting back and forth. And I mean, the players like that. You know, they like to be, they don't like to have the manager show up and dictate to them. A lot of excitement on that side of it. And I had conversations with Rick Porcello and others about how they just want to have a different mindset this year, that they felt like last year they fell into the trap of, sort of assessing themselves, judging themselves every single day. So, in other words, if they lost a game 8-1, they're the worst team ever. They kind of did for what the media did, and I think that they're going to, you know, try to take a step back, take the pressure off a little bit themselves, and hope that that'll help them.
Buster, how strange is it at press conferences or just talking in general with Alex Cora and Aaron Boone when you spent so much time with them in non-managerial situations? Are they different people from the guy you remember as recently as last year?
No, they're actually – the great thing about both those guys is sort of what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
So you don't have – it's not like they're – when, you know, they put on a microphone and there's a bunch of reporters that suddenly they're – you know, they act differently or they sound differently. As my kids used to always like to tease me about, when I go on radio or go on television, they're like, you put on your baseball voice. You know, those two guys seem very comfortable. I will tell you that the in-game dugout, you know, interviews with both of them, I'm going to have a hard time to keep from laughing out loud. Because it'll be surreal for me, you know, having spent so much time with both those guys over the years and you know, to have a Red Sox-Yankee game with those two guys, the managers, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Buster, I got to ask you, we didn't ask you this a couple of weeks ago when the news came out. What's going to be like for you on Sunday Night Baseball to work with A-Rod and Matt Vasgersian in addition to Jessica Mendoza,
yeah.
a new crew for you this year?
Yeah, and it'll be fascinating. I tell you what, my great regret in covering baseball in my lifetime was the 2 years that I covered Cal Ripken. You know, it was the time when he passed Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games, and he was very careful, and he didn't know me that well, and I never really got to know him, and I always regret not tapping into his knowledge. And when I heard that you know, Alex was going to be doing that, I sent Alex a note, you know, congratulations, and I'm like, I feel like I'm getting a second chance. And you guys know during the NFL broadcast how great Tony Romo was, because Tony Romo saw things, and he told you what he saw. And I think Alex absolutely is going to be someone who's going to do that. And I, in talking with a lot of his teammates through the years, I mean, he's a baseball savant. And I can't wait to be in meetings, and we're going to have one of them actually tomorrow, and then another one on Monday where we're going to sit down and talk about stuff. And so I can, you know, ask Alex, hey, what do you see in this pitcher? And to get his unvarnished opinions on that is going to be pretty cool.
How weird is it that we're living in a world where A-Rod is the good guy and Derek Jeter is the bad guy?
Yeah, I got asked in a couple other radio things, well, you know, you said this about Alex, you wrote this about Alex. I'm like, you know, that was in 2014, and here we are in 2018. It really is kind of amazing where, Derek is. In South Florida, he's definitely swimming upstream at this point in terms of the public perception of how he's doing.
All right, Buster, I'm going to attempt a criticism of Cora already, and you tell me if I'm reaching.
You're going to be reaching.
All right, well, then let me see where this is. I was listening to J.D. Martinez. He's like, you know, I really want to play in the outfield so many games. I don't remember what he said. And then he talked about DHing, and I'm saying, wouldn't have he had this talk with Cora before he signed something they would have talked about, or no? And I kind of criticize Cora for that, no?
Well, one thing about that, you know, I had Dave Dombrowski on my podcast today, and I specifically asked him about the DH thing, and he said that when they sat down with JD at the winter meetings, that was addressed.
Oh,
because
okay.
When you have Andrew Benintendi, and you have Jackie Bradley,
right,
and you have
right.
Mookie Betts, and, you know, it's probably the best overall outfield in all of baseball, and they're tremendous defensively. It's obvious that J.D. is going to wind up getting most of his games at DH. And Dave said that J.D. indicated he was totally, you know, fine with that. Now, it might be that J.D. was being honest with reporters, and J.D.'s a great dude.
Right.
And it might just be that he, you know, was asked the question, what do you think about playing the outfield? And he probably said, I'm guessing, all things being equal, I'd rather be in the outfield, but he understands, according to Dave, and he has since the first time they talked about what his primary role would be.
Okay.
Now, Buster, on that Dombrowski podcast, you also talked about David Price. I mean, is he actually making an effort to play nice with the media this year and try to win the fans back? Does that matter to him, or do you just think that he's kind of doing this because he has to?
You know what? Either way. I didn't get it really a chance to dig in with him. But either way, I think it's smart. You know, if he's doing it and he's legitimately doing it because he believes it and he has real regrets about how he handled things last year, then that's great. And if he doesn't have real regrets with last year and he's doing it, I still think it's great. Because you know what? Either way, he has to figure out a way. And I'm sure that he's at this point, he's at peace with the reality that, you know what, Boston's going to be his home for the next 5 years. that he has to make it as comfortable as possible. And I think anyone who's sane could see what happened last year and know that this was, as Dave said in the podcast, one of those lingering questions that was going to be asked unless David made an effort to put it to bed. And, you know, based on what he said last year, if I had to bet the family farm back in Randolph Center, I think he probably feels like that he didn't do anything necessarily that wrong. But he also is a smart guy and recognized, you know what, I got to get this behind me, and I got to get it behind all the rest of my teammates as well, which is why I think, again, I'm just guessing, I think that's why he's handling it the way he has.
And by the way, don't bet the family farm in Randolph Center. We're losing way too many farms
yes,
in this
state.
Yes, we
are. Yes, we are.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us as he is every Wednesday at 5 right here on 101.3 ESPN Inside the Huddle. Look, Buster, I like what the Red Sox have done. I'm just curious how they end up putting it all together. I think Devers is probably best suited to bat like sixth or seventh in his second year, but there's so many righties in that lineup. Yeah. Is he going to have to go to like fifth just to break up the monotony of the lineup?
I'll be honest with you. I think that there's a chance that he's going to hit a lot higher than that.
Wow.
Not a lot higher. You know, one or two spots. I think in the end, based on what we saw at Devers last year, I think he's going to be right smack in the middle, breaking up the right-handed hitters like you know, you want. I think that's right. I wonder if in the end, when we get to October, that the lineup, even after Pedroia comes back, I wonder if their best lineup is going to be Betts leading off, Benintendi hitting two, J.D. Martinez hitting three, and Devers hitting four.
Wow.
Because he has that type of talent. And, and Xander Bogaerts, as we've seen in the past, he tends to go hot or cold. You know, if he's healthy, he can have an impact and maybe slide him down. You know, Pedroia, we'll have to wait and see how long it takes him to sort of get into the swing of things. Jackie Bradley Jr. can be up and down. But those four hitters at the top, to me, are the best hitters. Hanley, it'll be interesting to see, since he now is effectively right in the middle of a competition for playing time, if that kind of gooses him a little bit, and he has a more consistent season than what he had last year.
And how about Arnie's boy, Eduardo Nunez? Once Pedroia comes back, is he super utility guy and gives a guy a night off every night, or is he just a bench player who we see a couple times
wow.
a week?
No, I think he's going to be a super utility guy. Look, the one thing you hear from people, even those who love Eduardo Nunez, is he will kill you if you leave him one place defensively. If you play him at third base every day, he's going to make too many mistakes. If you play him at second base, the range, the turning and double plays, that's going to become a problem on a round. But on the other hand, if you can, and Alex knows analytics so well, that I think that probably on a daily basis, they'll look at, you know, who the starting pitcher is, determine where the ball is going to be hit the least, and that's where they're going to put Eduardo Nunez. he's a tremendous offensive player. He's a great energy guy. He's kind of banged up. He saw his contract structure is protects the Red Sox to that degree, and I think that's probably how they use him, is just try to figure out the place where the ball's least likely to go.
I heard that Babe Ruth had Ohtani had a tough first outing. One in the third, a couple of runs, a home run blast that I think is still going in the air, right there or what, Buster?
Wow. I mean, coming right out of the gate. How many other pitchers gave up home runs this spring? You're not banging them for the year.
No, because nobody comes in with the fanfare of him, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I do think, and I think it was Hasegawa, right, who came out a pitcher from Japan came out and basically was trying to temper expectations, and I think that's right. I think that if you look at the history of the pitchers coming from Japan, there is concern about sort of the different baseball and how will that feel. The guy eventually is going to be a tremendous player. We got some insight into how evolved he is as a hitter because he was so patient in the first day. He's going to help him, but I didn't say he was going to be Babe Ruth in the first day with the Angels.
Give him at least until July 1st he's Babe Ruth.
I'll give him a couple of months. I'll give him a couple of months.
Wait. I thought I said July 1st, 2021.
As for the Yanks, I mean, the circus in Tampa, has the Stanton Judge craziness been tempered a little by the fun that Russell Wilson is presenting at camp?
I'm sure for the reporters who are covering it, it's a welcome distraction.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like, covering the Yankees now, because everything is around Judge and everything is around Stanton and those two guys, that, having Russell in camp, as you said, it's probably something that they like. I know from talking with Brian Cashman, the general manager, about their thought process, they just want him around their players and have an opportunity, because he's such a positive force. John Daniels, the Rangers GM, was just amazed by the type of person that he is. And why not? And we talked in the past about how long spring training is. You're trying to keep players engaged. Joe Maddon, that's why he breaks out the magicians and tries not to have spring training turn into Groundhog Day. And so for the Yankees, part of that effort this year is to have Russell Wilson.
The Nationals brought in camels today or something.
Yeah.
Well, and you remember a couple of years ago, as you went in Cespedes in his cars.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, it is a long time. As it was once described to me, that spring training is effectively for the pitchers to build up their innings counts and for the affiliates to make money. Yeah. And they probably could start the season after about 10 days, but they wound up playing a month.
Yeah. Hey, Buster, how's Aaron Judge's shoulder? I mean, the Wilson stuff is taken away from the distraction of he's coming off surgery. How did he look?
I didn't see him actually play in games. I will tell you that we had a live broadcast of the first batting practice session together, and I went into that thinking, man, this is going to be great. It's going to be rockets all over the place, fireworks. And his first swing, he popped it up into the middle of the top of the cage, and the look on his face, and I immediately felt like a complete idiot, because my thought was, of course his timing is going to be off. He hasn't taken nearly as much batting practice as he's had in the previous off seasons because he's been rehabilitating his shoulder. It wouldn't surprise me if he got off to a slow start for that reason, because this is someone who we learned a lot last year. Very much a technician, and he puts a lot of work in, a lot of preparation in, and he simply has not had the time to do that because of the shoulder.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. I was crying at the show on Monday. Felix Hernandez got hit by a line drive.
Yeah.
Rest of the Mariners are already injured in midseason form. Do you believe in curses? Because I think the Mariners are cursed.
Yes, and the Mariners are definitely cursed. You're 100% right.
Thank you.
Buster, you're going to be out in Arizona next week?
No, I'm trying to remember my schedule. Flying out for I got a meeting out in Los Angeles on Monday, and then I'm going to be down in Florida, and then headed out to Arizona closer to the end of the month.
All right, so I can't hit you up for free tickets.
There
so.
You go. Right. Hey, Buster. By the way, as we let you go,
you know what I would do? I would immediately refer to the place where I get every single one of my tickets. I'm not exaggerating. StubHub.
Yes. Hey, I know it well.
As we leave you, who's better in baseball, Russell Wilson or Tim Tebow?
Wow.
Was that close? Wow.
Well, I'd say right now, I mean, at this moment, I think Tebow, because Tebow's actually been playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would give him the edge in that, but I would say this, based on what I've heard about Russell Wilson as a baseball player, I think if you gave Wilson about a month, then we'd have a conversation.
Wow. I'd like to see that. Hey, always a pleasure, Buster. Enjoy your time out there. We'll catch up with you next week.
See you guys. Have fun.
Take care. Buster Olney, ESPN, MLB Insider. Always love talking to Buster. I was shocked about that. I thought for sure he was going to tell me Russell Wilson. For sure, Russell Wilson.
I'm just bummed. Now I have to plunk down $6 for baseball
call
tickets.
Call around. You'll get them free. Just say, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Hey, you're the guy from Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, you'll get them. They'll give you tickets. There'll be no problem there. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
The New York Giants brass spoke at the Combine. Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur. What did they have to say? What do we think?
That's next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady, what time? 7:30 tonight, right?
Trivia night, baby. Are you coming?
I am coming. City Sports Grill.
Or are you playing basketball at Williston?
No, there's no basketball today at Williston.
Spring break. Spring break.
I was going to play with Amir, but I dominate those guys, and they're old, and I don't want to play with the old people.
Amir at Juniors?
Amir at Juniors.
You know, Cam Ward of UVM Men's Hoops said that Juniors is his favorite place to go in town.
Okay. Well, and I love going there, but they're too old to play basketball with. I'm sorry about that. And I would dominate them, and I don't like to do stuff like that. I'm sorry about that.
But
What?
You and Amir are very comparable.
No, we're not. Don't say that. Take that back. I beat him 25-0.
No, I don't.
I could beat him with both hands tied behind my back. I'll dribble with my feet.
You'll be like a seal just bouncing the ball.
Exactly. Rich is back with us. Nice to have you back.
We have a new employee, and I wanted to meet him. That's all.
What new employee?
We have a new sales guy.
A new sales guy.
You mean the guy that started 3 months ago?
I've already forgotten his name.
You don't have to remember his name. Just say, hey, you.
That's what I do say.
I call everybody here intern because I don't know their names.
From now on, he will be known as Bud.
No, just say intern.
Hey, Bud.
Even though he's not an intern, just call him intern.
Or occasionally, hey, man.
Yeah.
What's going on with my Giants? What's happening there?
Well, your Giants, the brass spoke at the NFL Combine. Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur. They had a lot to say.
I wouldn't recognize them if they were next to me at the Olive Garden giving me breadsticks. I promise you that, but go ahead.
Dave Gettleman you'd recognize because of his thick accent.
That's true.
His very, very thick Boston accent. Here's what Gettleman had to say on a couple of different matters. He said that the number two pick, they've got pretty high expectations for.
And what we're basically saying, if we answer that question to the affirmative, you're drafting what you think is going to be a Hall of Fame player. Okay, so you can't get too cute about the whole thing.
You're drafting what you think is a Hall of Famer.
Sounds like Matt Verderam a little bit, doesn't he? Does he have that type of...
Just a New York accent?
It's a little like me.
Isn't that Boston?
Oh, that's right, he's from Boston.
Yeah, that sounded more like Boston.
New York. Matt Verderam's has a New York accent.
Okay.
His criteria. Just go ahead and draft the Hall of Famer every time, and that's pretty much it. More people strike out in the NFL draft or in any draft, and it's because I think they put too much – and I brought this up yesterday. I think they put too much pressure or the shuttlecock and the 40 and all that baloney. I don't care how high you can jump. I really don't. I don't care how fast you could run – without in your underwear for the most part, because you're already getting helmets in uniform.
How many times have they showed the Tom Brady 40?
He's still running it.
I mean, you and I can do that.
Yeah,
well,
at least
you could.
Yeah, he was horrible.
I think the measurables matter. I think they're important, but I do think that things like the cliche things, heart, toughness, willingness to play through pain, I think all of those things matter also, as well as someone's mental aptitude and determination. I think all of those things are important, but I do think the measurables matter. If you're going to tell me that this guy is incredibly slow or this guy isn't athletic, then no, I'm not going to look at you as much.
Right, but if he can jump 1 centimeter less than another guy you might be taking, does that matter?
No.
No, that does not matter to me.
By the way, I think the Giants may trade that number two pick. I don't think they could take – the only reason I say that is I don't think you could take a quarterback number one or number two and not either play them right away or within – 1 year of sitting out, like sit out this following year, then play him again. You can't take a number one or number two pick and have him sitting out 2 years.
Why?
Well, one, it's pretty much a waste. I know Rodgers sat a long time. Those days are over. You're taking the quarterback. They learn on the field. Maybe 1 year of learning on the sideline, but the only way you're going to learn is on the football field. And look at Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he's got to get out there. That's the only way we knew how great he was. 5 games with the 49ers, a lot more than we ever learned with the Patriots, even though he went and won a couple of games.
I agree with him.
I think they'll trade that pick.
If you're going to take the number one quarterback and the number two overall pick and sit him on the bench for 3 years behind Eli Manning, you're wasting
the
pick.
He's not the number one quarterback. That's another thing, because Darnold is going to go number one.
Okay, but a top pick.
But if they're not sold on Josh Rosen, and some people are not sold on Rosen, they say he's got an attitude problem a little bit. You know, for some reason, that jacuzzi in his dorm room is bothering people because he had a hot girl in his dorm room in the jacuzzi. Like, that's a big thing. But he does come off a little standoffish. I can see where people are rubbed the wrong way, like him, a Baker Mayfield type, and the Giants go, what? How much you? The Bills are going to give us their two first-round picks and a second-round pick for the number two pick?
Yeah.
Done! Done!
That's a hell of a way to address the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I don't care about sitting a guy out for a year or 2 years.
Well, 1 year's okay. Two is not.
If the only reason that would get me upset would be because then I've only got 3 years left on his rookie deal. That would be it, okay? The contract issue comes to me. But look at all these guys that have been that have played too early. They've played behind horrible offensive lines, been crushed, been decimated, and they're in the tank. I mean, look, I was rooting for Brandon Whedon. Right. I was rooting for Colt McCoy. I mean, look at how bad these guys ended up being. Was it all because they were bad, or is it because they're instantly put into horrible situations?
Well, so the team.
Yeah, right. The team is bad, and they're not properly trained to come in. They're not properly ready to come in and fix it right away. I mean, Russell Wilson came into a situation that was relatively easy to navigate. He had a good running back, and he had a great defense that was building. I mean, if you have that, then fine. The Giants don't have that.
That's why you maybe
even use, Cam Newton.
Well, that's why you use that number two pick. You can get rich. You get like a bag of riches for that number two pick.
I am not opposed to them trading it. Yep. I am not opposed to them trading it.
Yeah, if you get three high picks, well, you're definitely going to get number two.
You'll definitely get two first round picks because one you got to drop to whatever team's giving you. So you're going to swap that. That's one first round pick. You're going to get their other first round pick, and that's only the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills also have 2 second round picks, and I fleece them for one of those picks also. And you may get that, to be honest with you.
What's the point of taking Barkley with a number two pick if there's no offensive line to run through?
And if you're the Giants, depending on how far you go down, you may get yourself a Josh Allen. I don't buy Josh Allen going in the top 10 if that's who you want, or Lamar Jackson.
If I could get to 15 or 18 or so, then I could see myself taking Allen.
I think
Allen.
It's a little bit lower for the – I think they're like 21 or 23 or something.
Why are you so fixated on the Bills?
Because I think they're the only ones that have two picks that are willing to trade both of them to move up that high because they need a quarterback. And they also have 2 second-round picks that I want to take one of those also. I need to get rich. They've got the money. Giants got the pick. They're the only two that are really going to win.
You're so fixated on the Bills. I'm just wondering why. The Bills said today we're not releasing Tyrod Taylor. Doesn't mean he won't get traded. Yeah. It doesn't mean any of that. They said they're not releasing him. They had a chance to draft. They could have drafted Pat Mahomes last year, who you were so high on. They traded those. That's how they got those picks.
I will quit my job if Tyrod Taylor's on the Buffalo Bills.
Uh-oh.
I will quit my job.
You've already threatened to quit it like 10 times.
I will quit my job.
Rich and Brady.
If there's one thing I'm sure, it's that he won't be on the Buffalo Bills.
And let's write this down.
He might not be. Yeah. But I'm just saying that they said that they're not cutting him. That's all I said.
Well, I know, being a Giants fan, Eli is not going to go within the next 2 years. We know that. So you're really going to waste that quarterback pick. And there's too many people that want that quarterback pick.
Yep.
So you want it? What you got to give me for it? Because I'm holding the king's ransom, so you better come up with something good if you want to get Josh Rosen. Otherwise, don't bother me. Yep. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
It actually happened. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the way they should play it, because you got the two top quarterbacks. I don't believe Baker Mayfield's on the level of those two guys. So I think there's a big drop. Not a big. I think there is a decent drop-off between Rosen and Darnold and between Baker Mayfield.
Pat Shurmur also spoke about what he's looking for in quarterbacks at the combine.
Well, you're trying to look for all the intangible things that a quarterback does. You want to try to determine whether he's a good decision maker, whether he has a sense of timing. You know, the tape tells you whether he's an accurate passer or not. And then you just want to get a feel for, hey, is this the guy that we want to lead our team? And so some of it's subjective. Some of it really just comes by getting to know the player. And so, we have a good idea of what a good quarterback is.
You see what he's doing? He just mentioned Josh Rosen. That's not Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, you do have questions about his accuracy a little bit. He's definitely talking about Rosen because he knows that Darnold's going to go number one, and that's the pick at number two. At least that's the way I'm reading it, Rich. I don't know what you guys think. So
I think he's talking about the fact that he likes to see the intangibles in the quarterbacks.
Well,
and I thought it was interesting when he said the tape shows you the accuracy.
Yeah, but because what's-his-face, Josh Allen doesn't have any accuracy.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that he doesn't want to see that stuff in person. He's like, I'm okay not seeing that. I'm not going to learn anything about his accuracy at the combine. I thought that was interesting.
Zach in Bristol says the Giants need to trade the pick and build the offensive line. Manning still has good years left if he's kept upward. First time texter, when Arnie loses his job or quits his job, where do I send my resume? That's Luke in Huntington. And another first time texter, come on, Buffalo and Tyrod Taylor, do it for Champlain Valley, baby. Am I wrong? So some of the text, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. I think this is going to be one of the best NFL drafts in recent memory, because I think there's going to be a lot of maneuvering and going up and down with trades and stuff like that. I can't wait for the NFL draft this
year. Also, this one's interesting. 5 minutes ago, Gronk tweets out hashtag clueless with a little emoji of people who are clueless.
Before that, there was another. Remember I told you about the cryptic tweet? Yesterday,
there was another report who said he's enjoying people squirming over
this. I know, but there was another tweet this morning after the one I talked about yesterday that also gave the indication that he's retiring. And that tweet you just say, what was it again, Brady?
Clueless.
Clueless? So does that mean that people don't know what that means? That means everybody that's reporting that he's coming back is clueless? That's the way I,
yeah, I don't think like the, everyone who's reporting anything is clueless.
I don't like the timing of the word clueless in this because it came right after everybody said he's coming back.
By the way, I and look, nothing against Ian Rappaport and all of the NFL insiders, NBA insiders, even Buster Olney baseball insiders. I believe the majority of them make this crap up. That they don't know, and they're just going, because how are you going to bust them on it, really? Well, how are you going to go ahead and bust somebody?
You've got to throw stuff against the wall, otherwise you don't have a job.
That's our job, to give our opinions. You know, Rich, who do you like, Patriots or the Dolphins? 100-0 the Dolphins, 100-0 Patriots, that's whatever. That's what we do. You're not going to be 100%, you're not going to be 60% right.
We are in the business of speculating.
Yeah. Reporters are not in the business of speculate. Yeah. Right?
That's
are.
When they say... Sources have told me, and if that's
or source,
if it ends up not being true, then you say that. Well, hey, I heard that from somebody.
Yeah, well, Gronk's telling you it's not true. At least that's the way I read it. I don't know if you want to read too much into that, but I don't think he's. Again, I'm going to stick by my sources. He's not coming back. That's what I.
And you, are you also sticking by Tyrod Taylor will not be in Buffalo, and if he is, you're
yes.
not working here.
Yeah, I'm quitting my job. Allen and Munson said Josh Allen's more accurate than his completion percentage shows. Tons of drop, catchable passes, not reeled in. That's why I said that. That's why I said that if he sees it on the tape, Wyoming running back, wide receivers were trash. I brought this up the other day. I said he had a lot of seniors his junior year, but he had to go restart over his freshman year. And I did bring up that when you're playing in Wyoming, it does get a little bit cold and snowy. So that's got to drop your completion percentage just a little bit, I would think.
And the next text, first timer. Who are the Jets going to take? Any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think they're a key part of this draft also. I really, really am curious to see which way they're going to go. I mean, they have dying holes, and yes. I'm curious to see what they're going to do, if they're going to do free agency or they're going to go through the draft.
Well, the Jets just released Muhammad Wilkerson.
I saw that, yeah.
Big cap hit there. Yep. I mean, the Jets need a lot of things. They need a number of wide receivers, I would say. They got Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. Okay. They need a tight end. Austin Seferian-Jenkins played pretty well. He's a free agent. You need a quarterback. You need a running back. Matt Forte just retired. And they need about everything other than the defensive backfield where they got a couple of young safeties.
What are their picks? They only have one first-round draft pick, correct? And
you just told me the Bills were the only team with two.
Well, yeah.
So they would only have one.
Yeah, so you see, they don't have nothing that they can give me, though. But see, the one thing is, what are they, at number four or something like that, Brady?
They are at...
Because you don't have to drop down as far with the Jets as you would with Buffalo.
But
with
six.
Yep. Do you want number six? Or what's Buffalo now? How many? Well, you were just
know.
Looking up at
no,
the
no,
draft.
No, I'm looking at the Jets picks.
Oh, okay. Because Buffalo, you know, if you don't have to drop too far down, I like two over one. But, you know, being up at number six is better.
Well, the Bills have the Chiefs and their own. So they're both in the 20s because they both made the playoffs.
And the Jets have pick six. They also have pick five in round two, pick 17 in round two.
Okay, now we're talking.
And pick eight in round three. So they've got some
Cleveland's
pretty high
got
picks.
One and four, remember.
Right.
So that's
right,
a better team
right,
with two.
Right, that's right. One and four. So, I'm curious to see what the Jets are going to do. And if they end up trading that pick and if they want to go for a quarterback in free agency, if they think that their quarterback is one of these college kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they may want to trade up and get Josh Rosen. And said, you know what, Giants, we'll make a trade. We'll take Josh Rosen. Okay, give me your number six pick. Give me those two picks in the second round. I'll take that pick in the third round. And then give me some Chinese food. Give me everything there.
Well, it sounds like a lot of New York media think they're going to have Sam Darnold in that spot at the sixth slot.
And I stand corrected. We'll Andrew Wilson, doesn't Cleveland have two first-rounders? Yes, you do, as Brady just said. One and four, so it's them and the Bills with two first-rounders. But then again, Cleveland's not giving up that number one pick, so
no,
you can forget about that.
If there's a one and four for a two, I think just maybe the Giants might jump at that.
Brady, what is coming up next?
Daily spring training update. Sad news out of Boston's camp and discouraging news out of the Yankees camp.
All right, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams, but before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, quick show today. By the way, Alex and Moncton text in. Cleveland is going to trade up to get one and two picks. You heard it here first.
Wow.
I don't know how the hell they're going to do that.
Well, obviously with the Giants. What are they getting? Giants are getting the four and
I don't know. I don't know what else they get with the number one pick in the second round. I don't know what else they have to get there, but I don't see that happening. But anything's good to go. Everything's could be crazy when it comes to the NFL draft. So we'll see what happens. Brady, you're going to be at the City Sports Grill. We'll all be at the City Sports Grill. 7:30 trivia night. Fabulous prizes. And we had an upset last week where the Colonel won, huh?
Yeah.
This
against the mighty whatchamacallits who win every week. I forget what their name is.
The Colonel is this elderly guy that like sits by himself or has a friend that comes with him sometimes, and he beat a table that had like 10 people in it. Which
ten
is
young
great.
People.
You know, the Colonel always gets the alcohol questions right.
I'm just waiting for the bowlers to come back.
Yes, yes. It's packed like that. I'm waiting for our buddy Jason, who owns the bowling store at the bowling alley, to make a 101.3 bowling ball for us. So I'm looking forward to that.
I've been hearing about this for how many weeks
now? I want to put my face on it, too. So.
Well, some would say your head looks like a bowling ball anyway.
I may just put my chest on it, me without a shirt or something like that. I think that would look really good.
Someone should carve the Arnie Spanier pumpkin next Halloween.
Yes, yes. one of those.
I'm going to carve a pumpkin next year that just says, wow.
You want to answer the Yankee question on there?
Who starts in the outfield for the Yankees? Frazier, Hicks, Ellsbury, Gardner, Judge, Stanton. Well, that's pretty easy. It's going to be Gardner, Judge, and Stanton.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
Frazier's going to be in AAA.
All right. As a matter of fact, let's get to some spring training report because I think you have something on them all.
Wow. I feel like we should talk fast and excitedly with that music playing.
Not really. It's spring training.
Hey, it's spring training. Here we go.
Daily spring training update right here on the Huddle. Speaking of Clint Frazier, not good news for him. He is battling a concussion with the Yankees. He is out right now for the time being. He says he can't even sit down without having headaches.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a tough situation. 23-year-old kid, coming through the system. And, I mean, he's already – the problem here is that this is – I mean, was he going to make the team? I mean, that's the question. But you got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Gardner. That's automatic 1-2-3 across the outfield. But then you got Hicks and, to a point, Jacoby Ellsbury. And you have to believe Frazier was going to be in a battle with those other two guys. And now, I mean –
did Buster only say that the best outfield is the Red Sox?
Best defensive outfield.
Oh, I would agree with that. Do you not agree with that?
I didn't know you used the word defensive.
Oh, it absolutely matters, because if you're going to put Jackie Bradley in there with his bat, you can't call that the best offensive outfield.
Frazier is not – he doesn't have a spot on the opening day
roster. No.
He does not, because the three we just said are going to start. Then Ellsbury's on this team, 3 years, $68 million.
You can't get rid of him.
And then you've got Hicks, who played great last season. Yep. Frazier starts this season in AAA. It's really too bad, though. The whole thing is too bad for Frazier, because he's such a good player. Came up last year, top prospect, 9 homers, 33 RBIs, had a plus .300 on base percentage, played in a decent amount of games, had nearly 300 at bats, so he was a big contributor to this team last year as they ended up getting a playoff spot. I like Frazier a lot. I think his best use to the Yankees is one of two things. If they could somehow trade Ellsbury and have to eat some of that money, then Frazier can come up and be on the roster. But I think the best bet is Frazier's trade bait right now, and he can't be trade bait if he's not playing.
And the thing, too, is once he does play, as you said, it's probably going to be getting his at-bats for Scranton Wilkes-Barre, because there's no point in keeping him anyway at the major league level, even when he comes back healthy, if he's the sixth guy in the outfield, because he's only going to get 4 at-bats a week. You want him getting 4 at-bats every night in AAA.
I mean, you want that depth that he would provide. You want that because he's a good player, man. He's a really good player, and if Ellsbury's hurt, if Gardner's hurt, which have been fairly routine for parts of their career, then he's got every opportunity to come up and possibly contribute. But he doesn't really have a fit on this roster. So this concussion news is bad for him personally, and we wish him the best. As far as being bad for the Yankees, doesn't really matter right now unless you're looking to showcase him to trade him.
All right, talk about wishing the best. This one really tugs at the heartstrings. Tell everybody about the Craig Kimbrell story. I saw this today.
Yeah, Craig Kimbrell has left Red Sox camp for a couple of days. He is heading back to Boston. His infant daughter was born with a heart defect in November. She's going to need a series of surgeries. She had her first surgery a couple of months ago. She's having her second surgery this week at Boston Children's Hospital. Look, Kimbrell was great last season, but this is about much more than baseball.
I wouldn't be able to concentrate at all. I don't know how he does it. I just don't think I could have even gone to spring training with this looming over my head. I mean, of course, our thoughts and prayers, and she's going to be fine. She's in good hands, but I just wouldn't be able to concentrate.
Well, you hope. I mean, you don't know enough about. I'm sure she's in good
hands. I'm just
hands,
trying to be positive, yeah. Rich. I'm
That's
just
like
to be
saying
positive.
Thoughts and prayers. You know, that can only take you so far. But we'll obviously hope for the best. But, I mean, come back whenever you feel like coming back. That's really what this kind of a situation is.
No, I agree with you 100% on
that. And that's what Alex Cora said, and it was the right thing to say. And he said that, you know, Cora is very big in his family. You've heard him talk about his family. You've heard him talk about Puerto Rico, how much he loves his country. Cora gets this. And maybe it's part of being the new wave manager, too, that Buster was talking about with us at 5 o'clock. I like to think all managers would do this.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. I think all teams and managers
I would like to think that. But, you know, Cora seems to get it really, really well. He said take as long as you need. And as far as the baseball side goes, relievers need far less to get ready than starters do. They're not looking to stretch things out. Whether he takes 3 days off or 13 days off, count on him being ready for opening day. That's the secondary concern, but certainly are wishing Craig Kimbrel the best.
UVM gets a win yesterday. How about that, my friend, huh?
Catamounts with a win. We expected them to win. They struggled. Yeah, they won by 12 against. They won by 12 against Maine.
Yeah.
Maine hit far more shots than I think we were expecting them to. I mean, they had a couple kids who were hitting some threes. Big story was Anthony Lamb came back. He had 5 points. He played 11 minutes. I had him at 8, so he went a little bit over.
I told you he had to play more. I would have played him 35, but he wouldn't. Obviously, Coach Becker's not going to listen to me.
Why did you bring up the minutes, Brady? You knew it was gloat time to the left of us.
No, but you're right. 11 minutes, 1 for 3. What do you have? 5 points.
He looked okay.
You know, I just the thing that bothers me, he's not going to have a lot of time to be getting himself in full swing when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, he's not going to go out there on Saturday and play 30 minutes. Luckily, it's Maine. I don't know. How much of a mess is the University of Maine men's basketball program in? How many people were in that? They have that beautiful arena, the new arena in Bangor. It was about 150 people.
You're 6-24,
I get that, but. Man, it just
6-24, and you're anticipating a 37-point loss.
We're so spoiled here because it's always not packed. It's almost never packed for some bizarre reason at Patrick, but it's always mostly full. They go on the road to these places, and half of them are empty.
You talk about a mess. Binghamton brought back their head coach. I'm not in favor of anybody getting fired. I don't want people getting fired, but Binghamton's got 6 straight 20-loss seasons and just brought back their head coach. So, Arnie, why don't you say it?
Jeez, I want to coach. I want to coach for Binghamton.
You know what? Exactly. Maybe you could.
I think I can, to be honest with you. Is there any chance that some of these college basketball teams that are rumored to have some problems with the NCAA, that they don't make the tournament, they're kept out of the tournament, that all of a sudden sparks an extra 10 or 15 spots for people out there? No whatsoever.
Let's hope not.
It's possible.
I doubt it.
I know where you're going with this.
I think it's possible, but I also wonder about, you're leading to the inevitable question, more jobs available for Becker to leave to.
That and if Vermont can get in as large too, but yes, mostly,
but,
yeah.
I don't think so because I don't think Becker wants to go somewhere that's going to instantly be on probation for years.
No, well, I saw that one article where they had Danny Hurley leaving Rhode Island if he got another job, and he's going to be a hot commodity. And then, of course, they had Becker going to Rhode Island, which is the first time I've ever heard anybody be connected to a job.
I don't know what's going on with them, but I watched them last night. They got absolutely destroyed.
Did they?
By 30 points.
Rhode Island?
Yes, I was shocked.
And they had been ranked. At one point, they had the nation's longest winning streak.
Yeah, they are ranked. They were like 14th going into the game last night.
But I think they lost like a couple in a row.
Yeah. I think it was 78-48 the final last night.
I'm not
like
following
that.
Too much A-10 hoops. Wow. We're gonna have a guest in here tomorrow.
In studio?
So. In studio for a couple. Not like a guest for the show. We're going to have somebody in the studio.
Do I have to dress up or?
No.
Okay.
My dad's going to be in here.
Wow!
For a little bit. So.
Are we going to have food?
No, he's coming in here. He'll like get here.
I know food.
He'll get in here at like 5:30, and he said he'd call me from the parking lot when he was here. I said, okay, I'm not coming out to get you until commercial break.
Will we have alcohol?
At 7:01.
I don't like
Chinese.
That.
If you want to
Chinese food,
if you want to bring have pizza ordered for 5:30 for his arrival, we can do that.
All right.
Why is he coming so late? Why is he coming for the whole show? He doesn't want to meet Rich.
That's
the rumor. That's what my inside sources told me, Rich. I don't know.
Sources.
That's what they told me.
He's coming up for the weekend. He'll be here from Thursday night until Tuesday. So rather than go right to my apartment and wait for me to get home, he's just going to come here, and then we'll go back together. And then I think him, Jess, and I are going to go out to Ken's Pizza Pub.
Oh, look at you making the rounds tonight.
We're going to have him be a Burlington local by the end of it.
Wow,
he's going to...
you're going to spend 5 days with your dad. I'm going to spend four days with my daughter next week.
Yeah, he's doing
family week.
He's doing skiing at Smug's one night or one day.
Do the Flatlander thing.
Yeah, he's doing.
Maybe go see some maple syrup and Ben and Jerry's.
He's not into that stuff. We are going to go to First Republic Brewery on Sunday.
Now, I don't know this to be true, but my sources told me I'm his favorite. Is that true or no? Is that true, Brady, or not?
It was funny. I saw your son today in here, and he said I was his favorite.
That could be true.
Yeah.
That very well could be true. Yes, he was here, and you very well be his favorite.
Your son seems really sane. How is that possible?
I don't know. I take all the insanity and keep it bottled up among myself.
I talked to him, and he just seems like the most down-to-earth kid. It's like, how are you sane in any way?
I yelled at him yesterday for not shaving. I go, you get that off your face now. Get up there.
You did not.
I totally did.
And what did he do?
He shaved.
Because you told him to?
I yelled at him. I doesn't make a difference. You live in my house. You do my rules, Rich.
Wow.
He had that scraggly beard. I go, you can't work like that. You got to go look clean cut. Ugh. I go, we're good-looking people here. We shave.
He works over at Panera now.
He used to work there like last couple of summers, so he'll be working there. And he's
so can I go in and get a discount, an employee discount?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be getting stuff free and just ripping them off like crazy.
Yes. Right?
A future NHL goalie will be serving your bread.
I got to find them at college. Now he's starting to visit colleges, so we haven't figured out where he's going to go to college.
Have fun with that. I hope you have a good, reliable car.
Yeah. It's funny because you said he might go to Kent State.
Yes, that's
my dad went to Kent State.
I'm going to have to grill him on that.
Yeah.
He'll tell him about that.
He'll tell you all the best bars to go to.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what I want my kid to learn.
Yeah.
Exactly what I want him. You know, my kid's so clueless when it comes to college, but he's like, so wait a minute. No, let me get this right. I told him he takes four classes. You take five. So he goes, I go to two classes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I go to two classes Tuesday, Thursday. What do I do with the rest of my time? I go, what? What do you mean? What do you do with the rest? I go, called studying and,
studying.
Well, I guess having fun
really?
And going out and
studying.
Mine was hanging out at the Oswego Sub Shop in Greensdale.
Well,
House.
You didn't have to ask, what am I going to do with the rest of my time now,
My daughter never questioned why it took me 7 years to finish Linden State.
I watched Seinfeld DVDs all of freshman year, pretty much. That was before I ever went out.
Like, that's money well spent.
You know, so
there
I watched Seinfeld DVDs a lot, and then I had baseball, and then I was in the TV station.
But then he's got a lot to look forward to that freshman year. Rich, you have Last Story Standing. You found it, did you not?
I did, and it does involve camels and baseball.
Okay, so I gave that away a little
bit. Yes,
all right,
you did.
Well, we'll do that anyway. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Last Story Standing, Rich. What did you find today?
Well, Joe Maddon always had fun, especially in Tampa, with some goofy stuff that try to lighten the mood a little bit. And they're going to need to lighten the mood a lot in Tampa this year when they go to 110 losses. But Hump Day had a more tangible meaning, apparently, for the Washington Nationals today. Their new manager, Dave Martinez, brought in a trio of camels to spring training camp. Today,
when I saw that story, I'm like, camel cigarettes? Like, no, I'm serious. I thought he was talking about camel cigarettes. But a whole bunch
I want everybody to start smoking.
Yeah, I didn't know. I said, no way, real camels?
No, a four-legged visual aid is what it was to help players launch a journey aimed at getting over the franchise's playoff hump.
Do you enjoy spring training shenanigans?
Absolutely.
Is it hard to get camels?
I would think it would be hard to get camels. Although they're in Arizona,
They're in West Palm.
Oh, the Nationals. You were talking about Joe Maddon. I was thinking the Cubs.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they've reached the playoffs in four of the last six years, but you know what happens. They're just like their counterparts there in Washington and for the Capitals. They have great regular seasons and then disappear when it matters
most. Cubs are the worst. The worst.
But, I mean, have you ever heard of a visual aid like a camel to bring in?
No. What do you feed it? Can it bite you? I wouldn't want to get near it. I don't know. I have no idea.
The cleanup.
I wouldn't want to get near it. You didn't have to go here, sir.
Cleanup on second base.
One other story standing. There was a poker, high stakes poker contest out in Vegas.
Yeah.
The winner of the poker tournament won $60,000. That's all. It wasn't a whole heck of a lot. He could have won a lot more, but things didn't work out his
poor
way.
Guy.
He lost.
Yeah.
He took the $60,000. He was upset. Says the hell with it. Walks right to the roulette table and puts the whole $60,000 on black.
I know where this is going.
So they spin the wheel. There's actually a video of them spinning the wheel. Whole crowd gets behind them yelling, black, 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 black. And they spun the wheel and it came up?
Red.
It came up black.
Oh.
He would doubled his money. He went, when he put $60,000 down, I don't think you get the full 50% because zero and double zero are green. So I think you get like 58 or 59,000.
Poor guy. Yeah, so didn't get everything. Can you imagine being so financially well off that you could just take the $60,000 you were just given and just throw it away?
Oh no,
gambling.
That's insane.
That's not only more than I make in a year. That's well more than I make
yes,
in a year.
That's what I make in
I've
about
seen,
3 years.
I've seen some big whales play in a whole table of blackjack, and you know they take up the whole table and they have to bet every. You know they get to bet all of the six hands. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, well, of course. I like don't even know what that
there's,
means.
There's six people at a table.
Okay.
They're just playing every
They're playing
every
hand. No one's allowed to sit at the table but
them.
So
you have to win, right? How do they prevent that? If you have all the hands, you're going to win.
Well, not in blackjack. You could get beat by the dealer
you
with
beat
every
by the
hand.
Dealer, then you lose all six hands.
Okay.
If the dealer busts, you win all six hands.
Okay.
And you have to double. You have to play double the amount of what the table's worth. So if it's a $500 table, you have to bet $1,000 a hand.
Great.
And there's people that just sit there, okay, I'll do it, $1,000 a hand, and six hands, $6,000 every deal.
Maybe I will stop in Las Vegas. I'm driving right through it next week.
That's for the big shots, though.
Stop at one of those places.
When I lived in Pennsylvania briefly, I was at Mohegan Sun, and they had told me that A-Rod had been playing out at Mohegan Sun because he was on rehab with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees. So he would basically rent out the high-stakes room himself and just play back there. And they said Jeter used to throw down some big money there, too.
That's a fun place.
You know what the big game is? Baccarat.
I don't know how to play it.
I don't know how to play it either, but I hear that's for the real big boys, the back right. Even bigger than craps.
But I did spend quite a bit of time at Mohegan Sun last summer. I just didn't spend a penny there. I knew I was going to lose.
Brady, remember, we got trivia.
Yes.
So don't be late. You'll be there at 7:30, City Sports Grill up there in Colchester. What do we
Fabulous prizes.
What do we have for Champlain Valley Game Night?
We'll have Seth Appert. He's a former college hockey coach at RPI, so the Division I ranks, so he knows UVM well. But now he's also the head coach of the under-18 national team for Team USA. We'll talk with Eugene Santos, UVM athletic trainer for the men's basketball team, about a little bit of his world, and we'll get more into the prospective protests at UVM coming up this week.
All right. For intern?
Nathan.
Intern Nathan for Brady and Rich, I'm Artie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
ESPN app.